Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi alladhi wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da amma ba'd. Respected listeners, welcome to the final lecture, the fourth lecture on Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi's Al-Arba'in fi Usul al-Din, which is, as mentioned in previous lectures, which is a short summary of Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi's magnum opus, Ihya al-Muddin. In the first lecture, we discussed Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi himself and a little bit about his life and also a bit of information about the book itself. And we followed this with the wisdom of fasting. In the second lecture, we discussed the discipline of food. And in the third, we discussed recitation of the Quran al-Kareem. In today's lecture, we're actually going to discuss at-tawbah or repentance. And this is something really important. So as I mentioned in previous lectures, we discussed that the certain traits that are known as the reprehensible traits, the akhlaq madhmuma, and every single individual, every single Muslim is required to remove or work towards removing and purifying themselves from the reprehensible traits through tried and tested means. Once that's achieved, the second stage is to absorb and adopt the akhlaq mahmuda, the praiseworthy character traits. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullah in his book, he has three sections. So the final section is about the praiseworthy traits, and he divides this into 10 principles. And the first principle that he mentions is tawbah, repentance itself, and that's what we're going to discuss today. So with regards to tawbah itself, he says that إِنَّهَا مَبْدَأُ طَرِيقِ السَّالِكِينَ, it's the beginning of the way of the salik, that the person traversing the path of tasawwuf or the person traversing the path of suluk and Sufism, the beginning of that path is tawbah in itself. وَمِفْتَاهُ سَعَادَةِ الْمُرِيدِينَ, and for the murids and the bliss of the murids, it's the key. It's the key and the way, the access, the way to access eternal bliss. And he supports this with some verse of the Quran al-Kareem, where Allah Almighty says, إِنَّ اللَّهُ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَاهِرِينَ, that indeed Allah Almighty loves those that do tawbah, who repent, and He loves those that are pure. وَقَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, Allah Almighty also says, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا, that repent to Allah Almighty collectively. Thereafter, he mentions some hadith. He says, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, At-taibu habibullah, that the one who repents is the beloved of Allah Almighty. Wa-taibu min al-dhambi kaman la dhamba lah, and the one who repents from sins is like he who has no sins. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also cited in another hadith to have said that Allahu afrahu bi tawbati abdihi al-mu'mini min rajulin nazala fi ardin dawiyatin mahlakatin, that Allah is more pleased with the tawbah, with the repentance of his believing slave, than a man who is traveling and he stops at a deserted wasteland. Ma'ahu rahilatuhu, he has his ride, his horse or his camel with him. Alayha ta'amuhu wa sharabuhu, and on this horse or this camel, he has his zad, his provisions, his food and his water. And he's tired, so he puts his head down, he goes to sleep. And he sleeps for a little while. But when he wakes up, his ride, his horse or his camel has disappeared, it's gone. It's actually fled. So he starts seeking it here and there and everywhere until he becomes extremely hungry and he becomes very thirsty, or whatever Allah Ta'ala wishes, and he returns back to the original place where he was resting. For anam hatta amut, and he sleeps until says to himself, let me return to the place where I was originally and let me go to sleep until I die. And he goes to that place and he puts his head down and on his arm so that he may die, and he falls asleep. Fastaykada, then he wakes up. Fa'idha rahilatu indahu, and at that point in time, at this really difficult and dire testing time, he finds his mount, his animal, his horse, his camel or a donkey or mule, whatever he's on, by his side. Wa'alayha zaduhu wa sharabuhu, and with it is his food and his drink. Allahu ashaddu faran, so this person is going to be extremely happy at this point in time. He's lost all hopelessness, all hope. He's completely hopeless. He's lost any anticipation that he's going to live and survive. He's just he's accepted his fate and he's gone back to die, and then all of a sudden he falls asleep, wakes up, and he finds his animal and the food and the drink there, and he becomes extremely happy. So he, Nabi Karim Sallallahu says, "Allah ashadu farham bi tawbati abdihi," that Allah Almighty is more pleased with the tawbah of his slave, his believing slave, min hadha bi rahilati, than this actual person, this person who's discovered and his mount has returned back to him. So this is how Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he mentions and begins this particular section by mentioning some verses followed by a couple of hadith just talking about tawbah in itself. He then divides the section into five chapters. I'm just going to quickly tell you what these five chapters are. The first is the reality of repentance. Number two, repentance being obligatory on every individual. Number three, repentance being wajib, again obligatory on every situation. Repentance accepted when all of its conditions are met, and I'll discuss some of these conditions. And repentance is achieved by abandoning persistence in carrying out sins. And then he follows this by a small text just discussing minor sins. So I'm going to quickly summarize everything so we can be finished like previous weeks within 30 minutes. So the first section is the reality of repentance. What is the reality of repentance? So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that the reality of repentance is to return to Allah from a distance and to draw close to Him. That you repent, and by repenting to Allah Almighty, you are returning to Allah, you're drawing close to Allah Almighty, you're becoming near to Him. And he says that it has a beginning and it has a perfection. And what he means is that there's a beginning to tawbah in itself, and then you traverse the path in order to perfect how your tawbah is actually done. The beginning is iman. He says that the start of tawbah is iman in itself, and that the light of realization shines on the heart until one realizes that sins are a destructive poison. This then leads to fear and remorse, which then in turn leads to sincere desire to correct and abstain. And it's at this moment that one abandons sins because he's realized that iman has influenced him to come to realize that there's a problem here. So he abandons sins. And for the future, he makes firm intention and resolution to abandon sins totally. And as to what occurred in the past, he tries to correct that as much as he can. So if there's huququllah involved, you correct those. If there's salah that's been missed, you correct those, you fulfill those. If there's huququl ibad, then you also seek forgiveness and you correct that as best as possible. By doing this, one can reach a stage of perfection. So that's the reality of repentance, according to Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi. He then follows another section, which is very brief. He says in this section that repentance is obligatory on every single individual. That every single individual, no matter who they are, how pious they are, or how much of a sinful person they may be, repentance in itself and to tawbah is obligatory on every single individual. And he says that now that we know the reality of tawbah, know that it's wajib on each individual at every single situation. Allah Almighty says in the Quran, وَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, repent to Allah, all of you, all believers. And he also mentions that it's obligatory as it is part of faith to know that sins are destructive. And it's obligatory to do tawbah because it's part of our faith to understand that sins themselves are destructive. If they're not destructive in this world, then they'll be destructive in the hereafter. And then Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi introduces a very interesting concept, and he says that regarding why it's obligatory on each and every person, a person should understand and realize that the man, the human being, is composed of various attributes. And he divides these into four. He says there's one attribute known as bahimiyya, animalistic attribute, which leads to desires, evil and wickedness. Then there's another attribute that's inside the human being known as sabu'iyya, predatory. And this leads to anger, envy, enmity and hatred. He says that another characteristic that's found in man is shaitaniya, the devilish, a devilish characteristic which leads to scheming, plotting and deceiving. And then he says that there's also another element which is known as rububiyya, the one to be lordly or very high and high-minded, which leads to pride, dignity, love of praise and love of power. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah is saying is that what he's done here is he's taken all the different spiritual illnesses that a person can be afflicted with, and he's divided them into different categories, and he's then said that the root of all of these are these four different elements that is found in each and every single individual to varying degrees. بهيمية animalistic سبوعية predatory شيطانية devilish and ربوبية lordly. And he says that the foundations of all negative spiritual illnesses are found in these four elements, and one can hardly be free from any of them. He further says that the only way to be saved from them and the darkness of what they bring, because the heart, you know, it can become very black because of these sins, the only way to be saved from them and the darkness of what they contain is through the light of Iman and faith. So he says that Bahimiya, the animalistic characteristic, was first created in the human being. And this is the desire, evil and wickedness. He says that this dominates him at a young age. Sabu'iyah, the predatory characteristic that leads to anger, envy, enmity and hatred, was then introduced into the person after a little while. Antagonism, competitiveness. These are the characteristics that come out of this, out of many. Shaitaniyah, the devilish characteristic, is then introduced into him later, a little bit later in life. And so you see him scheming, plotting, deceiving, and these are characteristics that start appearing in an individual. And then as he advances in age, a bit older, the rabubiyah, the lordly, the characteristic to be high-minded comes in. And this leads to pride, pursuing power, seeking rank, and wanting to be better than other people. And what Imam Ghazali rahmatullah says that in order to tackle these four characteristics, the force of reason is placed in a person along with the light of faith. And if this can then be, if the light of faith and iman itself could be strengthened, then the faith and the iman itself could help tackle and fight the four elements, the four negative elements. And he says that this light of faith and reason is placed inside an individual and it matures over time until it reaches its completion at the age of 40. And that's why you see that a lot of people, once they reach 40, they slightly mature, hikmah comes in, wisdom comes in, and they start realizing things. And he says that over this time, until this point, the four elements affect the self, the nafs and the ego, and they become quite accustomed to the four elements. And these characteristics, if you allow them to reign free, then they take over a person completely. However, if a person was to work on themselves spiritually, work on their iman, purify themselves, then slowly these four characteristics could be then weakened, and then the positive characteristics and the positive spiritual traits would then overcome a person, and he'd be then influenced by that. So iman and faith is what's needed to be worked on to improve and make strong, to make oneself strong and tackle the four elements. So this is the second section that he mentions. So the first section was the reality of repentance. The second section is repentance is obligatory on every individual, in which he mentions the four elements and that the need for iman to be strong in order to fight those four elements and the negative traits that are found in an individual. Then he continues and mentions the third section, which is repentance is wajib and obligatory in every situation. He says that Imam Ghazali mentions that repentance is obligatory in every situation because man is not devoid of sin. And then he says that either a person commits sin through his limbs or he's committing sins through his heart. So he either commits a sin through his sins or he has devilish thoughts in his mind, which are also sins in themselves. The turning away from Allah Almighty, not focusing on Allah Almighty, he has hatred or hasad. So the sin can be in his limbs. He commits an actual sin through his limbs, or he commits a sin in his heart. He has hatred or disgust for other people. He has hasad. So all of these are sins. So a man is constantly in a situation where he's not going to be devoid of sin. At the same time, if he's in a situation where he's managed to overcome the sins of the limbs and the sins of the heart, then he would be in a situation where in which he's not void of any blameworthy characteristic from which the heart must be purified. So for it takes one far from Allah Almighty. So he might be in a situation where his limbs are clean, but then the blameworthy characteristics are clearly there, and that's problematic. And then if he's managed to get to a situation where he's purified his limbs, he's not committing any sins with his arms, his hands, his body, nor is he committing any sins with his heart, he will be in a situation where he's heedless, or he's experienced what the Sufis call ghaflat. Ghaflat means heedlessness. He's not thinking and conscious of Allah Almighty all of the time. So this is another sin for those people who are very close to Allah Almighty, those individuals who have proximity to the Almighty, and they have a connection to Allah Almighty. Heedlessness or ghaflat of Allah Almighty is something that they consider to be a sin, and something that they should not be, that they need to tackle. They should be conscious of Allah Almighty all the time. And ta'bud Allah kannaka tarahu, that you worship Allah as if you are seeing Him. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ, if you can't see Him, فَإِنْهُ يَرَاكَ, then have the awareness that He's seeing you. This is ma'rifat itself. And if he is aware of Allah Almighty all the time, and he's drawing closer to Allah Almighty, and he's pursuing one stage after another, so he's drawing closer to Allah Almighty, and he's rising from one stage to a higher stage, and then to a higher stage. So as he progresses from one stage to another, and draws closer to Allah Almighty, he seeks repentance for the previous stage, which was at a distance from Allah Almighty. And this is a very Sufistic conversation that he's taking place here, which I'm not going to go into too much depth, but I'm just going to leave you at that. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, and he was ma'soom, he was someone who didn't commit a sin. We consider him to be, our aqidah is that he was ma'soom, would seek forgiveness from Allah Almighty 70 times in a day. So Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah, he divides people into five categories. He says that the general people, their repentance is repentance for the sins committed by the body. And the repentance of the pious individuals, this is the second category, is repentance from the reprehensible traits of the inner self. So the first category are those that commit sins with the body. The second category of people are those that commit sins with the heart, or they've got, or there's some negative traits, hasad, kina, buz, adawat, etc., inside one's heart. So these are the reprehensible traits. So they do repentance from this. The third category are the muttaqeen, those who are mindful of Allah, and they repent for the occasions of doubt. Number four are the lovers of Allah Almighty. They repent for ghaflat, heedlessness, when they forget His dhikr, when they forget the remembrance of Allah Almighty. And number five is the repentance of the arifs, those who have been endowed with the blessing of ma'rifah. And their repentance is for the delay in progressing from one station to another, and the stations of drawing closer to Allah Almighty are very many. So this is the third category, the third section that Imam Ghazali rahmatullah mentions, which is repentance is wajib, obligatory in every situation. He then mentions the fourth section. I'm just summarizing all of this. You know, it's quite a long section, a long chapter. This, I'm just summarizing everything for the benefit of the listeners, inshallah. So the fourth section is repentance is accepted when all of its conditions are met. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah says that if all the conditions of repentance are met, then it certainly is accepted. And he says that you can understand this if you can understand the meaning of acceptance, right? And what he means by acceptance is that your heart, so for him, repentance means that your heart has the repentance means that you, the accepted repentance is such that your heart now has the capability to accept the lights of ma'rifat. The heart is like a mirror that's become unclean and unable to attract the rays and the nur of Allah Almighty due to sins. The good deeds make the heart clean, and the tawbah also assists in making the heart clean. So when a person does sincere tawbah, then you see that his life has completely changed. So what Imam Ghazali is saying is that acceptance, you will know that you've got acceptance when your heart is in a situation to accept the lights of ma'rifah, and your life completely changes. And that's why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that follow a bad deed with a good deed. He then says that tawbah itself is like soap, and your own self is like dirty clothes. So if you use the soap correctly in washing your clothes, you remove the filth. So if you remove the filth, your life then changes for the better. And he says that people who repent doubt whether it's accepted because they doubt the conditions have been met. And they say it's like someone who takes... a lot of times people, the tawbah may have been accepted, but they doubt that it's been accepted because they doubt whether the conditions have been met. And he likens this to the one who takes medicine but is unsure whether all of the components of the medicine, the ingredients of the medicine, are found inside it or not. So in upshot, what Imam Ghazali rahmatullah here is saying is that repentance is accepted when all of its conditions are met, and the way to understand it is to see whether you've actually abandoned the sin and your life has turned for the better, or is it still continuing as it was before. And if you really make sincere repentance and you stop committing the sin, and then you turn with remorse to Allah Almighty, and you do tawbah, and you make a pledge that you'll never do that sin again, then inshallah we have hope that your sins, the tawbah has been accepted. And if your life then changes for the positive, then definitely tawbah has been accepted. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi thereafter then mentions the fifth section. He says repentance is achieved by abandoning persistence. And this is something very important in this day and age, which I'm going to explain a little bit more. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, he discusses the concept of persistence. Persistence in sins. That a person commits a sin, but he does tawbah, but then he carries on committing it thereafter. And he says that persistence in sins is caused by ghaflat again. And desire, two things, desire itself and ghaflat, that one is heedless of Allah Almighty or the outcome of this particular sin. He says that there are desires of the heart, that persistence is also a desire of the heart, and it should be treated like any other disease of the body. So if you fall ill, for example, you have a disease of the body, then in the way you treat that disease and illness, persisting in sin should also be treated in the same way. But he says that it's worse than the disease of the body. Persisting in sin, you know something's wrong, you carry on doing it, even though it's wrong, you do tawbah, but then you go back to doing it. He says this is worse than the disease of the body for three reasons. And the three reasons he mentions are as follows. Number one, the person afflicted does not know he's afflicted. So you're persisting in a sin, but you don't know it's a sin, or you're not realizing it's a sin. And he likens it to leprosy on the face. And he says that it's like the person who has leprosy on the face, but he has no mirror. And because he has no mirror, he doesn't realize that he's committing a sin, or he's got leprosy. So likewise, if a person commits a sin, but he doesn't know that he's committing a sin, then it's like the person with leprosy who has no mirror. He can't look at himself. He can't see his own reflection to understand where he's at. Somebody needs to come and remind him. Number two, people have not experienced the end result of the illness. So you might be committing a sin, but you don't know what the end result of the actual illness is. And they know that it's a sin. They know that there's an end result, but the realization of it, the actual experience of the sin, is unknown to them. Why? Because they've not experienced it. And such people carry on seeking the forgiveness of Allah Almighty, the pardon of Allah Almighty. And he says that the third reason why it's worse than the disease of the body is that there's a lack of individuals who can help you cure this illness. The scholars and shuyukh who have familiarized themselves with the science of tasawwuf and the purification of self are very few and far between. And because they're very few and far between, there's a difficulty in people going to somebody, finding this cure and purifying themselves from this particular illness. And then he says that treating the disease of persisting in sins can be done through five things, right? And he mentions these five things, and this is really the upshot or the summary of today's lesson. Because if you can take some of this away, inshallah, we'll all be in a better position in our connection in doing tawbah and repenting from sins and connecting to Allah Almighty. So number one, he says that the punishment for sin is not in cash. What he means by this is that because we know that such a sin has in Islam and in Sharia, we know that a sin, such a sin will lead to such a punishment in the hereafter. But because we haven't seen it or we've not experienced it, it's not in cash, it's not in our hand, we've not really seen it, the reality is absent from us. We take it lightly because the reality isn't really something that we're totally conscious of. So Imam Ghazali says, in order to deal with this, the cure for this, the ilaj for this, is to contemplate and meditate of what's going to come in the hereafter. Because whatever's going to come in the hereafter is very close. Death is closer to one than one strap in their sandals. That's what Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi says. That death is closer to one than the strap in one sandal. That it could happen any time. Nobody knows whether at this moment in time they're at the point of their last day. And what one should do is they should think about death often. One should think of how one prepares for a journey and make similar preparations. When you're traveling, you make preparations because you know you're traveling. Likewise, there's another journey that we're all going to undertake, the journey of the hereafter. And it could happen now, it could happen tomorrow, it could happen this year, it could happen next year, but it's definitely going to happen. And you should start thinking of the fact that this could happen anytime. And just being conscious of this probably will make you realize that a sin, this is the outcome of such a sin, I need to stop doing it. Our Mashaykh, alayhi wa rahmah, often prescribe the muraqabah in maut, the contemplation of death, which is found in the Chishti Tariqah, and it was practiced by many of our mashaykh, which if somebody wants to know how to do it, they can contact me, I'll teach him how to do it. But the muraqabah, you debate to a sheikh, ask their sheikh for this, but the muraqabah emote is very effective in this. Number two, pleasures and desires have an overwhelming grip on a person at the present moment, and he's unable to remove them. So the persistence in sins, because desires and pleasures are one is totally gripped in one's desires, and he's unable to free himself from this. And the cure that Imam Ghazali suggests for this is that think that if a doctor was to tell you that cold water is harmful, so you one is really tied up in his sins, and to the extent that he's persistently committing a sin, and at the same time the reason behind this is that the desires that one's own nafs is, the pleasures and the desires that one gets from the sin has gripped the person totally. He's unable to remove it. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says that one should then think that of a doctor. So if a doctor was to come to you and tell you that cold water is harmful for you, and if you were to drink cold water, you'd die. So you stop drinking it. Even though cold water, especially in a hot country, is coveted, it's something that you really enjoy. So if the doctor was to come to tell you that don't drink any cold water because it's going to affect your health and you're going to die, you just abandon it straight away. Then you should think about this, and also think at the same time that the commands of Allah Almighty and His Prophet are more truthful than any doctor of this world. The eternity in fire is more real and dangerous than the death of this life. And think about this concept. And if you think about this concept, then inshallah, slowly but surely, you'll equip yourself with giving up this sin totally. The third cause, he says, of persistence of sins is that one delays in making tawbah every day. That one thinks that I'll wait till tomorrow, I'll wait out for a better time, I need to get to a stage in my life that I'm feeling a lot better, then I will go for hajj, then I will make tawbah and I'll change my life, I'll go and sit in the masjid. And he says that the cure for this is to contemplate that eternal joy and sorrow in the hereafter is not based on ignorance. One does not know whether one's going to be able to repent before death. You don't know that situation is going to come, that you're going to be totally repent to Allah Almighty. And he says that the majority of people in the fire will be of this type. Those people who wanted to repent but never got round to doing it. They kept on delaying it. Delay tactics. They wait for a day when they're able to break. Waiting for a day when one's able to break one's desires and reform themselves and correct themselves will never come. It's now or never. It can't happen tomorrow. It's now or never. It's an example is that of a person wishing to uproot a tree. And he explains that it's like a tree. So a tree has grown in your garden. You need to uproot it. But you delay till the next year. But the next year comes and you've grown older and weaker. But the roots of the tree are stronger. And then you wait for another year where you've grown even older and even weaker, and the tree's grown even stronger. Now, if you try to uproot it, then you'll never get around to doing it. It's like taking weeds out in your garden. You should catch them straight away, because getting them straight away is easier than waiting 6 months, because then they've gone really deep inside. You've got to dig a little bit more. So he says that the spiritual illnesses of that a person's afflicted with, and the sins that a person commits, do tawbah straight away whilst they're young and in their infant stage, because removing them then at a young age, at their infancy, is easier than removing them at later on in life when one becomes totally habituated with that sin. So that's the third reason why one persists in sin. Number four, a person persists in sin because he thinks and he promises himself generosity from Allah Almighty and the pardon of Allah Almighty. You should have hope in Allah Almighty. You should have hope in the pardon of Allah Almighty. But to continuously think that Allah is going to, that you can commit a sin one after another, you can continue doing it and then hope that Allah Almighty is going to forgive you. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says this is ultimate stupidity. And he says that this is deception of Satan. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a very famous hadith, Al-Kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'd al-maut, that the wise individual is he who recognizes his self, wa amila lima ba'd al-maut, and he acts and he carries out actions that are going to benefit him for that which comes in the hereafter, after death. والأحمق and the stupid person is he من أتبع نفسه هواها, who ties his nafs out, he ties himself out in fulfilling his desires, وتمنى على الله تعالى, and he has hope in Allah Almighty. No, have hope in Allah Almighty, but take the steps as well. Tie your camel and then do tawakkul on Allah. Make tawbah and then have hope in Allah Almighty. And then he says that the fifth reason why a person persists in sin, al-ariyad billah, Allah save us from this, is that the person doubts the hereafter. His aqidah is weak. He doubts that there's a hereafter. So these are the five reasons which Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says. And a lot of people nowadays, we're all affected by this, that we continue to persist in sin and we fail to abandon sin. Imam Ghazali in this section, he mentions the five reasons why people persist in sins. Number one, the punishment for the sin is not something they can. The fourth reason why Imam Ghazali rahmatullah, why a person commits sins or persists in committing sins is as Imam Ghazali rahmatullah says, that a person is promised or thinks that Allah Almighty is going to be generous and pardon him. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi describes it to be ultimate stupidity, and he says this is a deception of Satan. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam says in hadith, al-qayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'da al-maut, that the wise person is he who understands his nafs and he acts and carries out actions that are going to benefit him after death. Wal ahmaq, and the stupid person is he, adba' nafsahu, who ties his nafs out, who adba' nafsahu tahawaha, who ties his nafs out in fulfilling his desires, watamanna Allah ta'ala, and he has hope in Allah Almighty. The fifth person, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah says, is a person who doubts the hereafter, aliyad billah. And that's something that is an akida issue. So basically what Imam Ghazali rahmatullah in this section, in the fifth section of the chapter regarding Tawbah, he mentions repentance is achieved by abandoning persistence. And he explains three reasons why people persist in committing sins. And then he says that there's five different causes of persistence in sins, and these are the ways to remedy them. Number one, punishment for the sin is not in cash. He doesn't recognize that he doesn't realize or have the true understanding of the sin itself, or the punishment itself, and therefore he carries on doing it, curious to contemplate death, muraqabah maut. Second is that a person's desires and pleasures have gripped them. So he gives the example, and the way to cure this is to give the example of what a doctor tells you. So immediately you'll act on it. But then what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Almighty says in the Holy Book and the Hadith is something that you ignore, or it's not really there. So you just think that Allah Almighty and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are more truthful. Eternity in fire is real and dangerous than the death of life. The third one is that one delays making tawbah every day because he keeps thinking of the perfect day. But this is just silly because you should contemplate that eternal joy and sorrow in the hereafter is not based on ignorance. You never know when you're going to live, when you're going to die. It could happen any moment in time. And then he gives the example of the tree and that a person wants to uproot, and he delays it one year after another until a point comes that the tree is far stronger than him and he's grown weak and he's unable to uproot it. And then the fourth reason is that a person has hope in the generosity of part of Allah Almighty, and this is ultimate stupidity, Imam Ghazali says, and deception of Satan. And the clever person is he who works for the hereafter and understands himself and works for hereafter, and the stupid person is that person who follows his desires and has hope in Allah Almighty. And the fifth person is the person who has doubts in the hereafter, aliyad billah. Speaking on minor sins, there's a section right at the end where Imam Ghazali rahmatullah also mentions a note. He says that repentance from all sins is important, and major sins are more important than minor sins. However, persisting on a minor sins leads to that minor sin becoming a major sin. And therefore, in his view, there is no such thing as a minor sin, because persisting in a minor sin becomes a major sin. And he says that continuous committing minor sins, causes the heart to blacken. And the example of this he gives is like drops falling on a rock, which will eventually lead to a hole, despite the softness of the water and the hardness of the rock. So that's basically today's lesson. And just to finish, I think it would be probably apt just to mention a poem by Maulana Rumi rahmatullah alayh, in which he talks about evil deeds, which really links into the topic today. Imam Maulana Rumi Rahmatullah Ali was very famous Sufi from originally from Afghanistan, but moved to Seljuk Anatolia in present-day Turkey, and his mausoleum is in a place called Konya. And he wrote a very famous book known as the Masnavi, which is a collection of poetry, very interesting poetry. I don't know Persian, so I won't be able to read the Persian to you, but I have a translation here. And there's a one particular poem which is quite suitable to this occasion. I'm just going to read it quickly and just give a brief explanation of it and then call it a day. Imam Maulana Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi says, when blows from your hands struck a victim unjustly, they become a tree in hell known as the Zakum, which grows from them. So when you commit a sin and you unjustly attack somebody, then these blows themselves become a tree in hell known as the Zakum. He continues saying, when in anger you threw fire into people's hearts, you became a source for the fires of hell. So in anger you threw fire into people's hearts, you become a source for the fires of hell. Since your fire was burning mankind in this world, what was born of it was setting fire to men in the hereafter. Your fire of anger attacks people here, the fire that sprang from it assaults people there. Your words, like snakes and scorpions, have become snakes and scorpions, and are seizing your tail, assailing you from behind. So your words, like snakes and scorpions in this world attacking people, will physically become snakes and scorpions in the hereafter, and they'll be catching your tail and catching you from behind. Then he says that repent to Allah Almighty. And the way to do this is by turning to the friends of Allah Almighty. So he says, you kept the friends of God waiting, and so you will be kept waiting at the resurrection. You promised tomorrow, and the day after that has become. So you promised tomorrow, but the day after tomorrow has already started. So you've missed tomorrow, and you keep waiting. You're waiting on the day of gathering, he says, on the day of reckoning. You're waiting. So your promise tomorrow and the day after that has become, you're waiting on the day of gathering. So you keep saying tomorrow, but the day after that has come, and that will be you're waiting on the day of gathering for you. Then he says, your anger is a seed of hellfire. Take heed, extinguish this hell of yours, for this is a trap. So what he's basically saying, in the hereafter, the inner reality of actions becomes manifest, invisible and tangible form. What the sins that you commit in this world actually physically appear in the hereafter. Just as paradise is made of goodly deeds, the landscape of hell is made from the sins of committed in this world. And then he says, by keeping the friends of Allah waiting, what he's probably referring to here is that there's people out there who are praying for you to reform, and you're keeping them wait, and by keeping them wait, you'll be made to wait on the hereafter. So in one very famous hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, one who repents is as one who has no sins left. And for acceptance of repentance, however, it's essential to resolve sincerely not to repeat the offense, ask forgiveness from anybody who's been wronged, and to make amends for the harm done to them. That brings me to the end of this session, today's lecture, and also to these four lectures on Imam Ghazali's Arba'een. There's only a couple of days left for Ramadan. Pray for me and utilize your time properly. Make dua that Allah Almighty also grants me the ability to utilize my time properly, and He fulfills with afiyat all of my pious intentions. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.